Welcome back to Disclaimers Aside, a bi-weekly podcast where I share the raw and honest stories of people in my community, Disclaimers Aside. I'm your host, Aisata Amadou, and let's dive into today's episode. So you want to start a podcast? Well, today we are going to be discussing just how to do that. Welcome back to another episode of Disclaimers Aside. Today, I wanted to chat all about my advice on how to start a podcast. One of the first episodes that I recorded for Disclaimers Aside about a year and a half ago was an episode that I recorded with my friend Gori, who has a podcast called On the Go with Gori. And she kind of shared her advice and what her process looked like. But now that it's been about a year and a half of running Disclaimers Aside, I really wanted to sit down with you guys and just talk about what the process has been like and just share some of my insights and my advice if you're thinking about starting a podcast. I feel like the summertime is the perfect time to start a podcast or just to even start thinking about starting to create a podcast because we have so much time on our hands, and this is like the perfect time to get started with the process, start pre-recording episodes and all of that. But before we get into that, disclaimers aside, my unpopular opinion for this week is that influencer podcasts are actually good. A lot of the times I've noticed on social media when influencers on one platform move and expand to other platforms, there can be this wave of content for that or people just thinking it's cringy. So for example, if you see YouTubers start posting on TikTok, or YouTubers that start their own podcast, or vice versa. It could even be TikTokers who start their own YouTube channel. I think everyone has one specific platform that they typically have more of an affinity towards, and because podcasting, making YouTube videos, and making short form content like TikTok, those are such different content formats. Sometimes that doesn't translate a lot of the times. But surprisingly, I actually really do enjoy my share of influencer podcasts. A lot of the podcasts that I listen to when I'm scrolling through my library are actually podcasts by YouTubers. At this point, most of the podcasts that I listen to by YouTubers, I don't even watch their YouTube videos anymore. I just listen to their podcast. I feel like I enjoy influencer podcasts so much because of the nature of podcasting, because of how people can feel more comfortable to open up and share more than they would in a YouTube video or in a TikTok. I feel like you get to experience this other side of your favorite creator. And I love just seeing my favorite creator interview their friends and their family on their podcast. So I wanted to go through my podcast library real quick and just share some of my favorite influencer podcasts if you guys are looking for any new podcasts to give a listen. Can we talk about influencer podcasts without talking about Emma Chamberlain's Anything Goes podcast? I love Emma Chamberlain's podcast. I wasn't a huge fan growing up of Emma Chamberlain. I definitely became a fan of her YouTube videos later on, just because during her era in 2018 where she blew up, I just found her editing to be way too annoying. Like, her videos were so annoying to me. I really liked her videos when she was like living alone in her house and she was like cooking. She would make her little coffee with her coffee machine. She would read. Like, I just really love that era of Emma Chamberlain's videos. I also really loved her most recent era. The era I think she still kind of is in, where she traveled. She makes travel vlogs. I think something that draws audiences a lot towards Emma Chamberlain is just her ability to just be herself on camera. And I think people do appreciate that, especially since in a lot of influencer culture, there is this facade of a lot of these creators kind of creating this brand identity for themselves or creating this specific image of themselves. But it just kind of comes across through Emma's content that she just kind of is herself. And I think that is really interesting and drawing to people. I really like her podcast because when you're listening to her episodes, it just kind of feels like she's just chatting with you and she's just sharing her thoughts almost in a raw and unfiltered way. A lot of her podcast topics and her podcast themes are very unique from any other podcast that you'll listen to. She'll choose the most random concept or the most random topic and she'll just go on and on about that topic for 30-40 minutes. While it can kind of get repetitive sometimes, I think just hearing the way that her brain thinks and hearing the way that she presents ideas is really entertaining. And there's not the sense of her trying to perform. I think in some of her older videos, like in 2018, when she really started to become famous, there was just this feeling that she was trying to perform for an audience. But I think she's kind of, it feels like from her most recent content that she's kind of let go of that. And so that's something that I really appreciate in Anything Goes. I definitely miss her YouTube channel. I definitely miss the days that she used to upload consistently on YouTube. But her podcast is one of my favorite podcasts that I listen to. I look forward to an episode from her every week. And I definitely think it was a very smart choice for her to start that podcast because it really did allow her to kind of transcend YouTube fame on a long-term scale. The first influencer podcast that I started listening to, this was actually the first podcast that I listened to, period. And this is the way that I discovered podcasts, is Gals on the Go. It's a podcast by Brooke and Danielle from YouTube. They started in 2018, and I remember when they first announced that they were starting something called a podcast, I thought you had to pay for podcasts. This was back when I was in high school. They were in college. Listening to their podcast just like feels like listening to two older sisters chatting every week. It's always like a fun, it's always a fun time listening to their podcast. I loved their YouTube channels, and I used to be like an avid watcher of both of their YouTube channels literally every week until I would say about a year ago. I feel like recently I haven't really been watching YouTube. I haven't really been keeping up with their vlogs, but I do really enjoy their podcast episodes. I feel like they're really, really fun. And I feel like their personalities really, really do complement one another. I think when it comes to podcasts where you have co-hosts or a co-host situation, the chemistry between the co-hosts really matters. And I think really comes into play and affects the quality of those episodes. But you can really tell that these two girls are literally best friends. And that's part of what makes these episodes so entertaining to listen to over the years. It's what makes me keep on coming back to these episodes. And so if you're looking for just like a fun podcast to listen to, definitely listen to Gals on the Go. Another one is Welcome to the Kingdom by King Cora. This is Karen Adekora's podcast episode. She's Ghanaian and she's also Christian, and that really heavily influences her podcast as well as like her other content. While I'm not Christian, I think it is very interesting to listen to a podcast coming from someone who is religious living in the West, and just like hearing how she navigates being religious in the West. Even though being Muslim and being Christian are two completely different experiences, I think it is still very interesting just to hear that perspective. Similar to Gals on the Go is Pretty Basic. This is Alicia Marie and Remy Ashton's podcast. Again, just a really fun time listening to their podcast episode. You can tell that they're really, really close friends, that they've been close friends for years. Their podcast episodes are really fun and just like a fun time. I kind of grew up watching both of their YouTube channels back in the oversaturated YouTube era. But it's really cool to come back years later and just listen to their podcast and hear how much they've grown and they've changed over the years. Last one I'm going to recommend is the I Love You So Much podcast with Kenzie Elizabeth. I also used to watch her vlogs pretty frequently a few years ago. She now lives in Texas. She used to live in LA. She's an avid reader. She's a businesswoman. I feel like she has a lot of really interesting guests on her podcast episodes. And you can tell she has a really large network of people. And so I feel like when you're listening to the I Love You So Much podcast, you're always learning something new from her podcast. Like, it's definitely a great podcast if you're looking for some self-development. In general, I think influencer podcasts are definitely slept on. I think when it comes to a successful influencer podcast, they have to kind of go a route when they're starting this podcast that is different from what they're presenting on their other social media platforms, whether that's creating value by sharing more self-development content, like in the I Love You So Much podcast episodes, or just sharing some insight into their lives and the people that they care about, like the Gals on the Go episodes, or if it's taking a different route and just opening up more about their personal lives, like you'd see on the Anything Goes podcast with Emma Chamberlain. Usually when it comes to influencer podcasts, for them to be successful, they're adding something different. They're bringing something new to the table. And I think that's really interesting to see, especially if you already kind of have a connection to the podcast host through their other content. For me, for a podcast to be something that I enjoy and that I come back to every week, I need to feel a connection to the podcast host to some certain extent. The messaging is very important, don't get me wrong, but am I going to be impacted by and take the advice or the messaging that I'm given if I don't connect to the podcast host? No. So a little bit of background on me, and disclaimers aside, this podcast, just in case this is your guys's first episode that you guys are listening to. I decided to start Disclaimers Aside in 2021. It was my second year of college and I was attending UC Santa Cruz at the time. I decided during my fall quarter, and fall quarter for context was like the first quarter that was finally in person. But even though I expected my classes in college to just go back to normal life, when I got to campus, things were still very much on lockdown. Half of my classes were still online. Some people hadn't even moved back to campus, and campus just as a whole was not normal. It was not functioning in the normal way that it would today. We were still very much in the pandemic. I've talked about this in a previous episode, but I definitely attribute me starting Disclaimers Aside to the environment that I was in. Starting a podcast was something that I wanted to do subconsciously in the back of my mind for years leading up to when I actually decided to do it. I remember in high school when I first started listening to podcasts like Gals on the Go, I really wanted to start a podcast, but I also wanted to wait until I was a little bit older and a little bit more mature, because I do think with starting a podcast, I wanted to attain a certain level of maturity and also just a certain level of life experiences before I went and started a podcast. I don't necessarily think that you have to attain this perfect level of self-actualization to actually start a podcast, but I do think that it can help to just do some self-development or just self-reflection. I think in order to have a pretty successful podcast, it is important to be very introspective. So working on those skills before you actually launch your podcast is really, really important. But I don't necessarily think you have to be a certain age, that you have to be in college, or that you have to be graduated from college, or you have to be in your 30s to start a podcast. I think anyone at any age can really start a podcast. And I do enjoy listening to podcasts by people that are younger. One of my favorite podcasts that I listen to is called The College Muslim. It is pretty much all just college-aged guests on that podcast, and both of the hosts are also in college themselves. I do think we're still in this realm where podcasting is still kind of something that's seen as for people that are older, that are late college to post-grad years to like in their 30s and older. You don't really come across a lot of podcasts by people that are still in high school, which is really interesting, because I feel like if there's anyone that has a lot to say, it is definitely Gen Z. Either way, I wanted to start a podcast back in when I was in high school. I decided to wait a few years. I really wanted to wait until I felt ready. I'm definitely the type of person where I don't really like to start things or sign on to commitments unless I know that I can see it through. Seeing one of my close friends in high school start a podcast definitely pushed me to realize that like this is something that is very feasible and very possible to do, because before seeing my friend start a podcast, I didn't really know at all like what the process really looked like, what the upfront costs were, how to maintain it, how to go about marketing it. Like there's just so much behind the scenes that like I just had no idea about. And I was actually pretty surprised just from seeing my friends start a podcast and then also my own experience with starting a podcast and how easy it is to actually set it up. The hardest part about starting a podcast is not necessarily starting it, but the maintenance of it. And this is why I think that it's important to not just spontaneously jump into starting a podcast. It's actually really, really important to take the time thinking about like what you want your vision for your podcast to be, thinking about the intention behind your podcast, constructing the branding of it, and just like the whole pre-planning process. I think when I started my podcast, I decided to start sometime in October or November. And I spent October, November, and December just planning for the release, the launch of my podcast in the new year, in January. And I'm really happy that I did that. I came up with the name, disclaimers aside. I made the list of guests that I wanted to have on. I set up the Instagram. I started creating a lot of the graphics that I was going to be posting over on Disclaimers Aside. And then once the new year hit, I launched my podcast. And by the time that first episode went live, I had episodes pretty much already recorded, and some of them were even edited and uploaded and ready to go for the next 2 months straight, so then I could just focus on working on my next batch of podcast episodes, reaching out to new guests, and all of that. Let's kind of dive into more in depth kind of the process of actually starting the podcast and like what your timeline should look like, or just kind of speaking to how my timeline looked like. So as I mentioned, I decided I wanted to start my podcast in sometime in October. And the first thing that I did was I started thinking about what my intention was for my podcast, like what I wanted my vision of my podcast to be. And I feel like thinking about your intention and what you want your podcast to kind of sound like, feel like, look like, it'll make all of the other decisions that much easier. I knew I wanted this to not just be a one-man show. I knew I wanted to be able to interview people in my life. Like, I was really excited at the prospect of like being able to interview my friends, interview my cousins, interview, you know, my mom and dad at one point, my sisters, people that I look up to, my mentors, other creators in the space, and just kind of sharing other people's stories as well as mine, because I felt like at the time, while I did have some things to say, I didn't want this podcast to just be me speaking into a mic, but I wanted it to be kind of a platform for other people. And I really wanted this to be an unfiltered space where people could kind of tell their story without disclaimers. So I knew I wanted it to be an unfiltered space. I knew I wanted it to be a space where people, you know, could tell their stories for the benefit of other people kind of hearing their stories, being able to, you know, promote friends that have businesses and all of that, and just giving people a platform to use their voice. So once I kind of had that vision, I started to brainstorm a list of potential guests that I wanted to have on Disclaimers Aside. And I still have that list, that original list that I made that day on Google Docs, and I still reference it. So this list is really, really important. Just like think of every single possible guest that you could potentially want to have on your podcast, whether or not it's realistic. You can think about the logistics of whether or not you can have certain people on your podcast later, but I think it's important to just have, you know, some kind of list to go off of. That way, when you're starting to reach out to people, or you're in a period and you don't really know what you want your next podcast episode to be, or who you should reach out to have on your podcast, you can always just go back to this master list of people and pull names off of that list. So I made that list of people that I wanted to have, and then the ones that I wanted to have right away, like in the next year, I actually started to even think of episode ideas. I saw this TikTok that was saying if you're thinking about starting a podcast, to make a list of at least 10 different episode ideas. And if you can't think of at least 10 podcast episode ideas, you're not ready to start a podcast. And I think that is wholeheartedly true, because I think the hard part a lot of the times when it comes to podcasting is not necessarily being able to talk, because when anyone's given a topic, it's fairly easy to talk about it. But I think it's really just coming up with the ideas for podcast topics and for podcast themes that can be the most challenging part of the entire process. Thinking of really entertaining and fun interview questions that are gonna kind of guide a conversation in the direction that you want, that's gonna be insightful to your audience, is the most challenging aspect of things. So make a good list of at least 10 podcast episode ideas. If you're doing a solo episode, some solo episodes. If you're doing guest episodes, think of both guest episodes and solo episodes. I think solo episodes are kind of the most challenging to think of because when it comes to guest episodes, it's pretty easy to kind of tailor an episode towards your guest's life or whatever your guest has going on. But when it's a solo episode, you have to think of something that's going to be entertaining that you can speak for at least 15 to 30 minutes at the minimum about and is something that people are going to be interested in. So definitely make sure to brainstorm some solo episode ideas and have that in a bank. The next thing that you're going to want to think about is the name. I would recommend coming up with a list of a few podcast name ideas and just kind of like thinking about which one you like best over the span of a couple weeks or however much time you have. Maybe asking some trusted friends or family members like what they think, which name they like the best, having people vote on it or share their insights. But I would recommend at least making a list of a few names. I personally didn't do that. I thought of Disclaimers Aside and I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I want to name my podcast. And I wanted to make a list of a couple other names so that I could ask people and like have people vote. But I genuinely could not think of a better name for the podcast and it ended up working out perfectly in my favor, but it's not always going to be the case. I think it is important that your name reflect your main intention of, you know, your podcast. So for me, with Disclaimers Aside, it worked out because the idea behind Disclaimers Aside is that like I'm sharing my story unfiltered, Disclaimers Aside, and also just having guests share their stories unfiltered and Disclaimers Aside. And every episode, I either share an unpopular opinion that I have, Disclaimers Aside, or I ask a guest kind of like what unpopular opinions they have, Disclaimers Aside. And that kind of just that connection between the name and the actual content of your podcast will make things feel very full circle for the listener when they're listening to your podcast. So think of a couple names that you like. Don't be afraid to kind of get creative with it and take your time on the name. You don't have to get it like right away. And you can also just like change the name in the process of like planning for this podcast launch. So don't rush into figuring out like what the name is going to be. I feel like when you know, like you'll have a gut feeling of like, this is the podcast name that I want. In terms of podcast names, I think my advice is to not name your podcast after yourself. I've seen that a few times where people will be like, for example, if I named my podcast the Aisha Amadou podcast, I personally don't think that works unless you're a celebrity. Like if you're Kim Kardashian, you can call it the Kim Kardashian podcast and it'll still do fine. But if you're just a random person with like no internet presence, don't name your podcast after your name. You can include your name in your podcast. Like, for example, Disclaimers Aside's long name is like Disclaimers Aside with Aisha Amadou. Naming it just your name is not the smartest choice. You want it to be unique so that it stands out, but also you want to make sure that it's like memorable and you want it to be intriguing. So you have the title. I feel like the next natural thing is to kind of think about podcast art. Podcast art can be hard, especially if you're not a graphic designer. So basically, my first podcast art, I had a friend who was able to design it for me, my friend Nikki from high school. She actually also designed my friend Gori's podcast art. So I just kind of reached out to Gori and I was like, hey girl, like who did your art? Who did your podcast art? And then she referred me to our friend from high school, Nikki, who was able to design like my first podcast art. And I basically just sent over a picture of myself and I was like, can you just like animate me? At the time, that's really what I wanted. I wanted the color scheme to be for my podcast brown and cream. And that's still kind of the color scheme to this day, is like a lot of brown and cream. So think about like the branding of it. This is the really, really fun part for those of you guys who are creative, is like thinking about like what you want your brand to kind of look like. I love the color chocolate brown. So I wanted chocolate brown to be the main color, and then also just cream. And then obviously black and white are some of the secondary colors. But really think about it, because this is going to come into play with not only your podcast art, but also just like your social media presence. So once you set up the podcast Instagram, a lot of the graphics are going to be in this color. So you want to think of a color that you enjoy that might have longevity, that is perhaps practical. I mean, you don't have to choose a practical color. Gals on the Go's colors are like pink and purple, and it's worked out for them for years. So you don't have to be super practical. Just pick a color that you're going to like and that you feel like you can work with over time. It's totally fine if you decide on a color scheme for one season and then by the end of the first season you hate it, because you can always go through a rebrand. I think don't be afraid of rebrands. I think rebrands are very, very important, especially like with each new season. That's a great opportunity to rebrand in any sense. That was my season one's podcast art. I wanted to change my podcast art with the new season. And so for season two, I actually commissioned this artist to do my season two's art. I wanted to go a similar way and just have myself animated on it. But after a month of that podcast art being up, I think she did a great job, but I didn't feel a connection to the podcast art. I didn't really love the way that it turned out, and I didn't feel like it just reflected or connected to the content of my podcast. I also just like felt like it wasn't exactly the style that I necessarily wanted. This is where I think it's important to be careful, because just because you see an artist that you really, really like you really like their art style, you think it's really cool, that doesn't necessarily mean it'll translate to being a good art style for you and for your brand. You have to think about kind of the difference between those two. I was going back and forth. I was like asking my friends, like, how bad would it be if I changed my podcast art mid-season? Not even mid-season, like within the first few months of season two. And they were like, girl, if you don't like your podcast art, you should just change it. And I'm so glad I listened to their advice. I obviously spent money on that design, so at that point, like, I wasn't going to commission another artist, and I didn't really have the time to commission another artist to redesign the podcast art for season two. So I actually ended up creating myself the art for the podcast cover for season two, which is this current season. So that's why you kind of see more of a minimal design. I just felt like after season one and also just kind of season two, I kind of wanted to go with more of a minimal look. At the time, I also wanted to kind of adjust the style of my podcast Instagram to reflect this, to feel more clean and feel more minimal. And so this is the podcast art that I came up with, and I really love it. I think it's clean. I think it's simple. It's not anything too crazy, and I really like it. So I think it's important that you, again, just you play around, like play around with different designs. If you yourself can design it for yourself, great. If not, don't be afraid to outsource. And Instagram is definitely your friend when it comes to trying to find like artists to help design podcast art. I personally designed this on Canva, season two's podcast art. And so Canva is definitely your friend. Like, I would play around with Canva. I would definitely invest in Canva Pro or a Canva Premium if you're starting a podcast, because I'll get into that later when I get into like the podcast Instagram logistics, but it will be your friend and you will need and lean on it a lot more than you expect. So definitely invest in Canva Premium. But that's what I used for the podcast art. And podcast art is so, so important, because it's not like YouTube where each individual episode gets a thumbnail. So really, this is the core visual element that people are going to be seeing and how people are going to be discovering your episode. So you want it to really be something that you like, that is presentable, that's going to be eye-catching, and that's going to be just reflective of like what your podcast is all about. Okay, so let's talk about some of the actual logistics in terms of recording equipment and just the platform. So in terms of recording episodes, a really popular microphone that a lot of podcasters use is the Blue Yeti mic. This microphone is, I want to say, around $100. You can find it on Amazon and like most retailers. I personally bought this mic when I was first starting my podcast, because this is the one that I saw everyone using, and I had even seen like a lot of YouTubers buy this mic just for the purpose of having a microphone for voiceovers. So I figured I could kind of like double it. I actually don't use this microphone anymore, because I don't know if it was just me. I feel like it was just me, because I haven't heard of anyone else having this issue, but I had a lot of issues recording with my Blue Yeti microphone. It just captured audio sometimes in the worst ways possible. And the audio quality is like everything when it comes to podcasting. So you want to be really, really careful with what you use to record your podcast episodes, because you want the audio quality to sound good. If the audio quality is not good, it will ruin an entire episode, no matter how good the content is. And that's a hard lesson that I learned over the course of the year, a year and a half with recording episodes. Like, sometimes it would be so frustrating because I'd be so excited to edit a podcast episode and for it to go live, and then I would hear it while I was editing, and it would just, the audio quality was so bad. So Blue Yeti mic, I definitely did not love and don't necessarily recommend, because not only would the audio quality be bad, and it would pick up a lot of the background audio, which I really didn't like. It also would stop recording, and like, it wouldn't tell me when it wasn't recording a lot of the time. So sometimes I would lose entire segments of an interview. So it just was not for me. I didn't really have an alternate microphone to use, so I used it for a pretty lengthy period of time. I only stopped using my Blue Yeti microphone 2-3 months ago. So up until recently, that's what I've been using. And basically the way I would use it is I would plug in the Blue Yeti microphone into my laptop, and then I would record on voice memos on my laptop. Recently, what I've actually switched to using is my phone, which has actually significantly improved the audio quality of my podcast episodes. And I've noticed that I've not had any issues with my audio quality recording on my phone. So I actually recommend using your phone to record your podcast episodes. Don't use your laptop, because the laptop audio quality is pretty bad. I haven't tried using my iPad, but the phone quality is really, really good. So I use the Apple Voice Memos app on my phone to record my podcast episodes now. It works out perfectly for me. I haven't had any issues with the audio quality. And this is great because it literally is free. Like, if you have a phone, on an iPhone on you, you already got your built-in microphone. You don't have to buy anything else. Record on your phone. It's also really convenient because if you're recording with guests, and say you're like, you have to go to their place, or you have to meet at a specific location to record, you don't have to carry around that bulky microphone anymore. You know, I really wish I had discovered this back when I was in Santa Cruz, because it was this whole setup recording in Santa Cruz. I had to like rent out a microphone from the library on campus, and like, it was just this whole mess. Also, the Blue Yeti microphone is pretty heavy. It's like a couple pounds, so it'll be heavy in your bag for sure. But I record on my phone. I'm sure there's other microphones that maybe work better than the Blue Yeti mic. I didn't feel the need to necessarily do any more research because my phone pretty much works, but I record on voice memos. And then in terms of editing my podcast episodes, I edit on Final Cut Pro. Final Cut Pro is a video editing app. You don't need Final Cut Pro. I just use Final Cut Pro because I already bought it for YouTube. So I might as well just use it for my podcast. But everything that you would need, or everything that I use on Final Cut Pro, you can use with iMovie on your desktop, which is free with your MacBook. So there's no need to go get a fancy editing software, to be honest. I feel like with podcast editing, it's very simple. It's very minimal. It's just really cutting out the pauses and like the major mess ups, adding music at the beginning and the end. And that's pretty much it. There's really not much else to it. In terms of music and the like intro, outro situation, I currently have a subscription to Thematic. That's what I use for all of the copyright-free music on my YouTube channel. I recommend, if you're looking for free copyright-free music, usually copyrighted music is actually not an issue when it comes to podcasting, because it's not like YouTube where the music has to be royalty-free, is what I've noticed. So I haven't had an issue in the past with music. So I think with podcasting, it's a lot easier. They're a lot more lenient. But I recommend this site. It's called YouTube to MP3. I can link it in the show notes. I use this for my YouTube channel as well. But basically, it's the site where you can take the link to a YouTube video, and it'll take the audio file from it and you can download it and it'll convert it into an MP3. So if you find a song on YouTube that you like, you can go ahead and just like plop it in there and then it'll download the audio file for you and you can use that as your intro and outro. Well, in terms of finding really good music, trick that I actually discovered recently from the Welcome to the Kingdom podcast is to go onto YouTube, put in any artist that you listen to, and then add at the end type beat. If you want it to be copyright free, also add no copyright and just make sure that it's like free for use, free for profit use, or free for use. I do this all the time. So like some of the songs that I use on my YouTube channel and also in this podcast is I just typed in CK type beat because I really love CK and I'm a huge fan of Afrobeats. And then I found this like remix, copyright free remix of CK's music. I also did the same thing for Drake. I put in Drake type beat. I did the same thing for SZA. And you can find all of these like songs that sound like the original song that are literally just a remix. And so that's a great way to find good music. Don't rush it when it comes to music. Don't necessarily go with the first song that you find. Listen to a bunch of different songs until you find the one that's the right fit for you. And also don't be afraid to change up your music, even if it's like mid-season. I've done that in the past plenty of times and it's like no big deal, but that's what I use for music. So once that's all kind of edited and you have it on your desktop, you have your audio file ready and it's ready to upload, the podcast platform service that I use is Anchor. This is a Spotify app. I feel like this is the most common one that people tend to use. I'm a huge fan of Anchor because it just makes creating a podcast so easy and simple. You literally go in on Anchor and you just set up your account and everything like that. And you just drag the file onto Anchor, upload it, add the description, add the name, and then it will distribute the podcast to you on all of the different platforms that you want. So I have mine on like most of the available platforms, the main ones being Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And I think those are the two popular podcast platforms that people tend to listen to podcasts on. So it does that for you. And it's so simple and easy. It's literally instantaneous. And that's why I say like the easiest part of starting a podcast is like actually starting it, but it's just the maintenance that's more difficult. So that's what I use for that platform. And once you've uploaded your first episode, it's ready to go. So I recommend when it comes to starting a podcast to have at least one introductory episode, a podcast trailer where you kind of, it can be just like a short 5 to 10 minute episode where you just kind of introduce yourself, introduce like what this podcast is going to be about, introduce who you are. You really want to just like share who you are, a little bit of your background so that your listeners kind of know a little bit about you, because not everyone who listens to your podcast, for example, if you're a content creator on other platforms, not everyone who listens to your podcast necessarily follows you on Instagram or watches your videos. So really just share in that first episode like who you are, especially for those of you who are looking to start a podcast and aren't already content creators. Like it's really important that your audience can just feel a connection towards you. So really, really invest in this first episode and don't just make it very generic. Like really just tell your life story. That's what I did in my first episode, is like I literally told my story from beginning to finish, even though, you know, I already have a YouTube channel, I already have some type of social media presence, and most of the people listening to the episode most likely follow me on other social media platforms. It's important for those people who just like come across your podcast and don't know anything about you to just get a sense of like who you are. So that's usually the first thing that I would recommend for that. Now your episodes are all ready to go. I recommend having at least the first month of episodes recorded and uploaded and ready to go by the time you're ready to launch. Podcasting, I think, is probably one of the hardest platforms to grow on. It's not like you have like a recommendation page like you do on YouTube or a For You page like you have on TikTok. So I think it's hard for people to kind of discover your podcast just organically on podcast apps or streaming services. So I would recommend, like highly, highly recommend, if you are starting a podcast, you need to open up a podcast Instagram, because that is the way that people are going to discover your podcast. And you can even on Instagram, if you have like your main Instagram page, like have the at to your podcast Instagram in your bio. So then when people first follow you, like on your main page, they see that you have a podcast, or just like other people in general on your main Instagram can see that you have a podcast. Start it before you actually launch and like start teasing the release of your podcast. You want to get people invested and interested. I think I launched my podcast Instagram December 1st. It was like exactly a month before I knew Disclaimers Aside was going to launch officially, so that I could kind of like gathering an audience together. That way, once the podcast launches, like there's actually a few people listening. Like there's more than just my mom and my dad. The podcast Instagram is really just a opportunity to really bring your podcast to life in a new light, and just to make it more than just something that people listen to, and a place where there can kind of be a community, like a listener community. I really recommend that you go the extra mile with the podcast Instagram and just take it to the next level and just be really creative with it and have fun with it. I like to do things like podcast polls where on my Instagram stories, I'll create polls based on that week's episode and have you guys kind of vote on things. I'll have like just prompts and questions, maybe questions that I've asked a guest or things that I've talked about on the podcast, and have you guys kind of share. Like, for example, something that I like to ask you guys is like, what are your intentions for this week? Or what is something you're looking forward to? And like sharing your guys' responses, just so that it feels like an engaging thing and not just a one-sided thing again. I like to post things like Pinterest inspiration every week. Like I'll just go on Pinterest and I'll have fun with it, and I'll just kind of find things that I find inspiring or just aesthetic. I'll put together a little dump and I'll post it on the podcast Instagram. You want to create an experience, I think, for your listeners. And I think also too, not everyone is necessarily someone who listens to podcasts. So some people might also just want to follow the podcast Instagram and see some of the highlights and things, but they might not necessarily have the time to like listen to your podcast weekly. So just making it so that the podcast Instagram is an inclusive and welcoming space for everyone, whatever capacity that they're interested in your podcast in. I'm a fan of making podcast shorts, which is basically just taking clips from whatever podcast episode you have going up that week and posting it on Instagram so that people kind of have a sneak peek into that week's episode. I think it's really fun. It's like a cute little teaser moment, and it'll get people really excited for that week's episode. You can post about guests on there. I recommend you follow other podcasts in like a similar niche as you, or just other podcasts that you listen to, and just try and create relationships with other podcasters. So that potentially down the road, if you guys want to do like a podcast swap situation, you guys can do that. In terms of how logistically I recommend, this is something I forgot to mention before, but how I kind of conduct interviews, podcast interviews specifically when I'm not physically present in the same room as my guests. Because I remember when I was first starting a podcast, I didn't understand how people do this, but basically the way I conduct my podcast interviews is I'll set up a Zoom call with whoever I'm interviewing, and I'll have the Zoom call on my laptop, for example, and I'll have headphones or earbuds connected so that my recording device doesn't pick up their audio, and I'll just record my audio separately, and then I have my guest also record their audio separately, and then when I'm editing, I have them send them their audio, and then I just kind of edit the audio clips together. You could record the conversation on Zoom, but the only thing with that is the audio quality on Zoom is really not the best. It's really not good. And I think also sometimes like because of like Wi-Fi glitches and stuff, like Zoom will miss out on like a few things sometimes. So I recommend doing it that way. I'm sure there are other platforms or just other ways that people go about that, but that's personally how I do it. The only downside with that is like, if you have, for example, if you want to have more than one guest, they need to be in the same room. Otherwise, it just kind of gets hard to like edit multiple audio clips together at once. I personally try and record with guests in person if I can. Like I try my best to do that, but it's not always possible. Like, you're not always going to be in the same location as someone. But if you can, and if there's any way to kind of meet up and record a podcast episode in person, I think it's a lot better. I think it's also, the episode just always tends to come out more organically because you're like in the same room. In terms of reaching out to guests, don't be afraid to shoot your shot. You'd actually be surprised how many people are interested in going on a podcast. I think people really do enjoy talking about themselves and talking about their life story. I think also too, another thing that people don't keep in mind with podcast guests is like your podcast guest does not have to be a CEO of their brand and have a million things going on in their lives. Like, you can just have the most simple run of the mill person on your podcast and just have them tell their life story. And that in and of itself is very, very interesting. I personally love listening to podcast episodes where the guests aren't someone famous or like an internet celebrity and are just a random average person, just hearing kind of their perspective on life and what they kind of have, like their view on the world is always very interesting. So don't feel like you need to constantly have these guests that have all of these, this have this such an impressive background. You can have random people on your podcast. Like, I always love listening to podcasts where people have their close friends, because I think your close friends are definitely very reflective of you and who you are as a person. But don't be afraid to shoot your shot when it comes to reaching out to people to have them on your podcast. Lastly, don't be afraid to take breaks, and don't be afraid to take extensive breaks if needed. Podcasting, it takes a lot out of you. It's a lot more work than people expect when it comes to interviews. You have to think of all of these interesting questions, and like, you have to constantly be guiding the conversation and making the conversation interesting and putting a spin on things. When it's a solo episode, you have to be deeply introspective and you have to constantly be very creative. And I think, too, there is kind of an exhaustion that sometimes comes with having to constantly be analyzing and thinking about your life in a light in order to make content out of it. Like, there's an exhaustion that can come out of that, especially if you're on other social media platforms. So it's important to take breaks. The way that I kind of operate in terms of, like, my podcast episodes is I like to be weeks ahead of like the actual episode airing. Does that make it so that like the episodes that are airing are not necessarily like fresh off the oven? Yes, but I know for myself and for my own mental health, it's important that I kind of work ahead of my schedule so that, you know, I'm not stressed out and I'm not constantly thinking like, what am I gonna have going out this week? And I know in terms of just the way that my brain works in terms of creativity is like, I go through periods of time where I'm a lot more creative than in other periods of time. So when I am in that kind of in my creative era and I have all of these podcast ideas or whatnot, I like to sit down and brainstorm a bunch of episode ideas, come up with the outline. So then all I have to do is record them, or sometimes even just batch recording really is helpful. I think it's important to also just to take season breaks. A lot of major podcasts do this, where towards the end of the year they'll take a break, or some people choose over the summer where they take a break. I personally always take the month of December off, and I use that entire month of December really just for me to start thinking about the next season and planning for the next season, recording episodes in advance for the next season. And it's so, so helpful. It's actually so important, I think, to take a break, because then once you start the new season, like, you're rejuvenated, you're rested, and you're ready to go, and you're excited about the new season, and you have a lot of exciting content ready to go up on your podcast. So take breaks. I also just kind of recognize that, like, being a full-time student and someone who, you know, has a job, who also is posting on YouTube, like, it just was not sustainable for me to be posting podcast episodes every single week. And so I can't remember if it was this season or last season. Oh, it was season one. I think halfway through the year, I just decided, you know what? This needs to become a bi-weekly podcast because I cannot keep up with weekly episodes. And so that has helped tremendously, because now I just have to think of 2 episodes a month, 1 solo episode, and 1 interview episode. And that's really helped, and it's made it tremendously easier. I think also too, splitting up episodes into smaller episodes also really, really helps. So if you have an episode that's at least an hour long, just breaking it down into part one, part two, and making it a series. I know I personally love listening to a series as a podcast consumer. So don't even worry about like it just of it like breaking up the episodes, but really just taking those steps to really just maintain your mental health is really, really important, because your mental health is important to the quality of the episode as well at the end of the day. And you really don't want to burn yourself out, especially if this is something that you want to do over a long period of time. So I hope this podcast episode was helpful. If you are thinking about starting a podcast, maybe this shared some insights. I definitely tried to share some of the things that I definitely wish I had known before going into podcasting. I mean, with anything, don't put too much pressure on yourself. It's inevitable that you're going to make mistakes and you're going to learn from them, but it is definitely a forgiving and rewarding thing to pursue. One of the things that I'm so happy that I did was start a podcast, because it is just so much fun to have. Like, I'm fulfilling my little girl's dream of being a little journalist without, you know, the pressure of it, and being able to kind of just guide the conversations in the direction that I want with that creative freedom. It's really rewarding. So if you are hoping to start a podcast soon and you have any other questions that I didn't answer in today's episode, feel free to DM me at Disclaimers Aside over on Instagram. If you guys don't follow the podcast Instagram, make sure to give that a follow. I'll have all of the links that I mentioned in today's episode in the show notes. And I will talk to you guys in my next episode. Bye.